What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
A rested child is a happy child. Sleep Tight Stories is a weekly podcast that brings comfort and joy to families worldwide with calming bedtime stories. The stories are relevant to children and spark wonder without overstimulation, so they can fall asleep and stay asleep. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Or a bedtime routine you'll miss when they're grown? Sleep Tight Stories.
Welcome back, All the Smoke. Jack, we get to close out with a good one.
It's been our
nice
real brother.
Run. Yeah, come on, man. S. Dot. Man, someone who I've got a chance to play with for a long time, brief teammates, but great career, but to me, even better person.
One of the smartest brothers we know.
Yeah, man, a good dude. Welcome to the show, Sean Livingston.
Appreciate you.
Thank you. Come on, man.
Yes, sir.
Been in the making. Last time we tried to get you, what happened? You got scratched in the eye or something?
Man, eye infection, kid. Yeah. Something happened. Dirt. Yeah. Who knows?
Dirty fingers got in the eyeball, and we had to push it off. But we're happy to have you here, man. Man, three-time NBA champ,
too cool.
Four-time champ overall, because you won a ring as an executive. What's life been like post-career for you?
Yeah, man, it's nothing like playing.
No. Mm-hmm.
Right? Nothing like playing. But, you know, I'm grateful just for the journey because without playing on all the different teams and meeting, you know, all the players and getting a chance to share my story, I had an opportunity to stay around the game, you know, coaching or front office. And so I chose the front office life, just having a young family,
mm-hmm.
wanting to be there for the kids, watch them grow up. So, you know, it's my third year doing it. And so just enjoying being, you know, being around the game.
Mm-hmm. As you said, third season doing it. This season, Golden State obviously started off a little rocky with the Draymond and Poole situation. And, you know, obviously through Draymond's podcast, you're kind of hearing more and more of his thought process through the whole entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
As someone who has shared the locker room with that core guys, and then now you're in the front office, what were just kind of your thoughts overall on the from the beginning to, you know, the second loss, second round defeat?
I think I was in the camp of, you know, this team, you know, maximized what it had from that standpoint of the energy. I mean, you guys have been in the locker rooms, and you guys know what teams have a chance based on how we rock with each other. You know, what guys are rocking together, and it usually starts at the top with the best players. It starts there, you know, coaches, GM, obviously, but the team, the players, you know, that's what makes everything go. You know, they control what happens on the floor. So they have to be locked in, right? And it starts in the locker room, starts off the court, really. You know, mm-hmm. get a chance to be authentic and be vulnerable and, you know, do things to, you know, where it builds trust. And I think this year, you know, with the incident, Draymond Jordan, right, some of that trust was lost. And it ricocheted throughout the locker room. Mm-hmm. And just with Draymond, just you guys know, his presence. You know, that's his value. When he walks in the room, you feel him immediately. And so, you know, just that whole dynamic, working through that all throughout the year, getting to the playoffs, you know, saying, okay, now's the time to turn it on. It's hard to turn the switch on,
even
right?
if you're one of the best teams ever to do it.
It's hard to do. So I think this group, ultimately, you know, we maxed out. We lost some veteran pieces, too, that were, I think, crucial to that fabric. So, you know, this team pretty much maxed out.
A lot of movement with upcoming contracts and you know, a good friend of all of ours, Rob Myers, deciding what his decision is going to be. As someone who is in that office and plans on moving forward, what is kind of your guys' overall view on just, you know, re-signing key guys or, you know, is, you know, Bob's decision, you know, I mean, obviously you can't give us too much, but what can you give us on that?
Yeah. I mean, it starts with Bob, right? I mean, he's the architect, and then his value is the relationships. You know, I watched the interview you guys had on here, and Bob's just, you know, he's great, fantastic communicator. Like, he could talk to anybody about anything, and it just levels the playing field. Obviously, we have some big names, big stars, you know. Those guys hold a lot of weight, you know. But Bob can walk in the room and just really, you know, level out the playing field, make everybody feel comfortable, you know, all three layers, you know, ownership, coaching staff, players. He's the guy, you know. And so him and Steph, you know, and in my eyes, Steve as well, mm-hmm. you know, really make that organization you know, spin. So it starts with him, seeing what he's going to do. And then, you know, obviously they have some decisions to make, you know, on a couple guys, Draymond situation, his contract situation. Everybody knows what he means to the Warriors, mm-hmm. What he's done, what he's accomplished. You know, it's been said, but, you know, I got to stamp it as well. Like, you don't have one championship without him. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's...
Can you speak to that, though? Because from the outside looking in, and we live in a world now where everyone has a motherfucking opinion, and I say the same thing you do, speak to his importance on the court, off the court, leadership, just what he brings to that organization as a whole.
Yeah, man, it's hard to just, you know, it's hard to really put in words. You know, I'm a big energy guy, you know, so you feel the vibes, and, you know, he's a guy that, you know, he's cut from similar cloth than, you know, the same as you guys. Like, you know, you see him coming, right? Like, mm-hmm. You know, he's a guy that he is who he is. He wears his emotions on his sleeve. I mean, you know, he doesn't mind offending people because he's out to tell the truth and to seek truth. You know, and also his mindset from a standpoint of wanting to maximize his potential, you know, and the potential of everyone around mm-hmm. him, you know? Like, if he sees that you're not giving 100% effort, he gonna call you out on it. Mm-hmm. It don't matter who it is. And, you know, again, it starts with him with setting the tone. You know, he keeps guys honest, right? Because he's not gonna let you walk in and just bullshit your way through, right? Like, he's gonna call you out and say, hey, man, you know, we need more, you know? And he holds himself to that standard, mm-hmm. and that's what leaders do. And so he's been the leader, you know, for the Warriors, you know, throughout that whole run. You know, with him coming into that light when David Lee got injured, mm-hmm. Stepping into that spot, you know, he wore it on his sleeve, and he wasn't, you know, afraid to be front line, you know. So I think that's, you know, it's the personality, it's who he is, the mindset, but then also the skill too. Like, you know, like his IQ is second to none. Like he knows the games, he knows tendencies of the other players, you know, what they do well, what they don't, everyone in the league. I mean, it's,
right.
It's, I mean, seriously, like guys that, you know, I don't even watch. I'm like, yo, how you know this? You know, it's like, he barely play, bro. Mm-hmm. But he remembers plays. It's just, you know, it's crazy.
It's a beautiful mind.
Yes, yes.
S-Dot, where did that nickname come from? Because someone over here claims he started it.
He definitely shouted it out.
I don't
enough,
know. Nobody was know? Saying it before me. I'm probably not being a rager, but I was the one who used to say it all the time
right,
on
right.
TV and everywhere. Yeah. I'm the one who made it popular.
He had a speakerphone, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I was screaming S-Dot.
He had the mic. Yeah.
Yes, I was.
Yes, sir.
I was a big fan. I was a big fan of S-Dot. Wasn't
it? Rookie year. It was actually Corey Maggette jumped it off. Back in the day, I had the old Reeboks. You know,
Clippers.
I took the check out of high school. You know,
the Clippers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Clippers, and the old Reebok S. Dot Carter's. Jay Z had the shoe line, so I kept a pair of all whites on, like Air Forces.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just stuck. You know,
you played in those?
No. Just coming in the locker room. You know, S. Dot. You know, see what you got on.
That's back when the Clippers did. That's back when the Clippers really didn't even have a locker room, did
yeah,
they?
Yeah, man, we was
them good old days.
Southwest Community
South by
College.
Southwest, yeah, that's fucking crazy. We'll talk about that a little later.
Man,
what was life like growing up in Peoria? Mike Robinson from Peoria.
Yeah. Mike Robinson.
Yeah.
Man, I grew up in a time actually where it was like the golden ages of basketball around Illinois, especially Peoria. Like, my OGs was around y'all age. Mike Robinson, Frank Williams, A.J. Guyton mm-hmm. played a little. You know, I had a cup of coffee in the league. But our true OG was Howard Nathan. I was just telling one of the guys, he was like the guy. All the swag. He was like, you know, Wesley in New Jack City, man. Like, everybody wanted to be like him. You know, he had, you know, the hottest girl, the hottest car. Like, but he was just like, man, on the court, he was that guy. He was in, y'all seen the movie Hoop Dreams?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was in that one, putting Arch, what's my guy? He put him out the state tournament. He was, went to Peoria Manual, and he was just a legend, man. So growing up watching him, you know, obviously Mike and the Bulls was, you know, who everyone
standard.
Watched.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That was the gold standard. But high school basketball, man, it was big in Illinois. You know, the original March Madness. You know, and we made our name going up to Chicago and, you know, really, you know, showing our game. So, small town, probably 100,000 people, you mm-hmm. know, cornfields on the outside, but, you know, not sweet on the inside. You
right.
know, it was a city.
Of course.
Yeah, it was a city. Segregated, like most cities.
Mm-hmm.
You had a good part. Up north was a lot of the, you know, wealthy folks live, and south side. Below the hill, what we called it, you know, that was where a lot of the poverty was, public schools. But man, I'm grateful for it because it gave me humble beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, learn how to grind, blue collar city. Mm-hmm. You know, you really earn what you get. You know, nothing's given. That was kind of the era that we grew up in. You know, and they really didn't let you off the hook. You know, even if you did have game, coaches, you know, held you accountable, you know, mm-hmm. run back on defense, you know, what you pull you out the game. Like, so I'm grateful for that because it'll, you know, it humbled me, you mm-hmm. know, it never allowed me to get the big head, even though I had a lot of fanfare in high school, but I grew up watching, you know, how it was supposed to be done.
Your parents split at a young age. Where did basketball and that push to basketball come from?
My pops.
Mm-hmm.
It was pops. He took over custody of me, and he raised me, him and my grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
And so I grew up in a household full of men, you know, no women around. Mm-hmm. So it was just different, you know. Not a lot of emotion in there. It was, you know, like...
Man shit.
Yeah,
man,
let's go. Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Stay with your chest.
Like, yeah, you know, so... Which helped me, because naturally, I was more introverted, quiet, you know, as
yeah,
you know.
Cool,
just
laid back.
So it was like, nah, come on, let's go. Like, just, and that helped, you know, really harden me, just, you know, being more competitive on the court, being able to go back at guys, being able to, you know, stand up on my own and, you know, at school. And it was, I was grateful for that. And my dad really showed me the way. I don't know where he got it from, but man, you know, taking me around to camp after camp, you know, it was almost like, I mean, he had the vision, you know, like, look, this is what we're going to do. You know, you're going to go to school, but we're going to go practice, right? I play baseball. We're going to go play catch. You know, you want to be great. You want to play. You want to be MJ, Penny Hardaway. You got to put the work in. Come on, let's go. Mm-hmm. So I was grateful to have that, you know, that direction.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, so I empathize for guys who don't have that direction.
Yeah, 'cause it's harder.
Don't judge, you know, don't judge a book by its cover because mm-hmm. you don't know what he went through, what he didn't have, the lack of resources, right? Usually that's, you know, it's what makes you and what builds you. But, you know, a lot of people break under that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm grateful to my dad, you know what I'm saying, for giving me that. I wasn't always grateful, right?
Right.
I was, you know,
right.
Like, man, I don't want to do this while I'm doing this, you know, just, you know, working too hard, you overwork, you pushing me, right?
At what age is that, not to cut you off, because I'm a dad with teenage boys and try mm-hmm. to find that fine line. At what age do you feel like it switched to like, damn, I have to do this I want to do this?
Yes.
What age was that?
Yes. Man, to be honest with you, Matt, it was probably like, I did it early, then I got burnt out.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I got burnt out. By the time I got in high school, you know, start, you know, liking other things.
Mm-hmm. Right? Them things.
Mm-hmm. So just life, man, and, you know, just running with some of the wrong crowds sometimes and, you know, wanting to do other things other than kind of what got me, you know, the recognition and what got me to people knowing my name and everything else, the work that I was putting in as a young kid. So I was ahead of the game, got burnt out, and then my first 2 years struggled. Mm-hmm. Went to, you know, high school, struggled, you know, getting kicked out of practice, just butted heads with the coach, and then just, I wanted to quit, so I quit. They talked me to going back on the team, and then...
this your sophomore, junior year?
My sophomore year.
Okay.
Transferred schools, grew 3-4 inches, and then it was just...
Go time.
On and popping.
Yeah, it was like, man, I went to the circuit, ABCD camp, got invited, you know, I went to a few AAU tournaments before then, put on, got the invitation to ABCD, and then it was on from there.
2004, Mr. Basketball, straight out of high school. How did that decision come about?
Man, I couldn't. Top 7, top 5. Shit, I told myself, if I'm not top 10, I want to go to college, because I was probably 160 pounds soaking wet. Like, you know, looking like 12 years old out here. I'm, mm-hmm. you know, like, man.
Get braids.
I did that so I look older. You see what I'm saying? Like, just, it was, you know, I knew that I needed to mature physically. Mm-hmm. I knew that. Was signed to go to Duke, play for Coach K, get up and down, showcase myself. But, man, you know, towards my high school season, I'm looking in the crowd, I'm seeing Chris Mullin, I'm seeing John Paxson. I'm like, man, I know them. Like, they, I watched them, you know, I watched them play. They work for some, they the GM of the Bulls, the Warriors. Wow, this is real. So, it started getting real. And then did the McDonald's All-American game, did Round Ball Classic, which was Sonny Vaccaro's game. Man, it just, the buzz started building up. Mock drafts, and I did one workout. I was going to Chicago at the time, working out. Tim Grover, his gym. He had a gym called Hoops. He was rented out, and, you know, guys would come back and play. And so during pre-draft, around this time, I do one workout. I didn't hire an agent. He put me through the workout. It was 30 NBA GMs. Steve Kerr was there. He told me about the story. Like, after that, Tim Grover walked up to me. He said, man, Atlanta Hawks said, you're not going past 7. They take you at 7. I said, shit, I gotta go then. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, just the chances of, you know, getting hurt, getting injured, which I dealt with, you know, my first couple years in the league, it's like, you know, it just made too much sense.
18 years old, L.A. What was your first impression of L.A.? You talk about small town.
Yeah, man. My first walk on Venice Beach was crazy. It was like, you know, seeing some of the things I saw out there was different.
Oh, yeah. Venice will throw you for a loop.
You see what I'm saying? It was just different. So, you know, but it was actually, for me, it was just, you know, it was kind of cool to see. Because like I said, coming from where I'm from, it's very segregated, small town vibes. And, you know, you get some of those, you know, underlying conditions of, you know, whatever it may be, bigotry, racism, things mm-hmm. like that. So, you know, coming out to LA, man, just, you know, seeing the vibes, everybody messed with each other. You know, it was the diversity, you know, it was like mm-hmm. a big melting pot. Mm-hmm. So my first walk on Venice Beach was cool. Just seeing, you know, obviously seeing that much water I never seen before. Mm-hmm. And then just, you know, just seeing the vibes out there. You know, yeah, Muzz vibes. Kicking it. Yeah.
A lot of vibes.
Yeah, a lot of vibes.
Tree in the air.
All of it. It mm-hmm. was just, but it was in the open.
Yeah.
So that
then
part.
Then he had to hide it.
Yeah, that was yeah. Yeah. Hold on, the police ain't around here. It's 2004. Yeah. Different.
Any Donald Sterling stories, white party stories, anything? What you got for us?
I wasn't invited to the white party. So,
might have been
you know,
too young.
Yeah, you know, so... but no, it was definitely different. It was something different going on there. I remember being in the locker room and just, you know, him always bringing his friends back there.
Weird, right?
You know, and one time it's just, you know, just, man, being, you know, it's like Muggs in the locker room, people going back and forth to the shower. And, you know, like it was just lingering around back there. And, you know, it's
cock
just
watching.
Like, yeah, it was just like, man, weird. It was weird.
Super weird.
You know, that's
bro.
All I'm gonna say. It was weird to me. Weird yeah. energy. So I didn't know how to take that at right. you know, 19, 20 years
right.
old.
Like, what the fuck? You got all the owners in here watching dicks? Crazy. Is this how all the teens do it?
Man. it was weird.
A little
man.
Different.
Yeah,
but talk
different.
To us early too. I mean, we laugh and joke, but I was there. Shit, 2 years before you got there and then got up out of there. But that team didn't have a practice facility. We practiced at South by Southwest. You used to have to leave the back door open so people didn't break into your cars. Like, there was no shower. Like, talk to us about, because again, you're thinking NBA, I'm a number four pick in the draft. It was almost a step down.
Yes, it was a step down. It was a step down.
Which is crazy.
For sure. I mean, I didn't know what to expect. I just expected better.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And, it just, you know, our first practice being at, again, we was at Southwest Community College. And then I remember one of the guys, they got their car broken into.
During practice, bro. You know, used to have to keep the back practice, door open.
So it was just
like, motherfuckers didn't break in your car.
It was just wild that, you know, we were going through that. And then, you know, we finished practice, you know, we're on pretty much like one side of the gym, you know. And then we finished practice, we go in the locker room, and here come the football team in there. You know, you kind of. I'm like, no, I ain't. I'm gonna go ahead and take the shower pill, dog. Mm-hmm. Go take it to the crib. Like, huh? It's just, it was rough. It was rough. Cause I think of back, I try not, you know, I don't focus on the past and everything else, but just like what would be of those teams if they had the resources?
Come on, man.
Right?
So there was a lot of
and
young
the focus
talent.
And the direction, mm-hmm. you know, that young guys need when you come in the league. I mean, it matters. You know, I don't care who you are, it matters. Started out there, then we upgraded, actually. Mike Dunleavy Jr. Senior came in, and he was able to get us over to the Spectrum Health Club.
There you go.
The
okay.
Yeah. I never knew the Clippers had a football team.
You know, so we come. It was cold.
They was a junior college team.
Oh,
they
man.
Was a junior college team.
Oh, man.
Shit was crazy.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When your child fights sleep, it can feel like a battle you'll never win. Imagine a bedtime routine you all look forward to, where you cuddle in and let the stress of the day melt away. Welcome to Sleep Tight Stories, a calming weekly podcast that brings bedtime stories, cuddles, and comfort to families worldwide. The stories are quirky, relatable, and spark wonder without overstimulation, so listeners can fall asleep and stay asleep. Each episode is narrated by me, Cheryl McLeod, a second grade teacher, and written by my husband, Clark, an eternal second grader at heart. Tune in tonight and bond over a story before drifting off to sleep. Make bedtime the sweetest part of your day. Sleep Tight Stories. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who were some of the some of your early vets, though? Because although they were vets, they were young.
Elton Brand, Corey Maggette, Bobby Simmons,
mm-hmm.
you know, Chicago guy. I was tight with Q Rich.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up leaving, going to Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
But that was, you know, that was kind of like my big homie at the time. And then my second year, Sam came in,
mm-hmm.
The Cat, mm-hmm. the Tino Mobley.
Chris Brayman, I mean, Kamen.
Hey, Kamen had a lot of games, bro.
He did. Yeah.
He was a someone that was scared of water and showers and toothbrushes, but Kamen had games.
He did. He came in a year before me.
Mm-hmm.
But again, come from the Midwest, you know, country dude,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, Central Michigan.
Yep.
Like, it was just, you know, he's kind of out of his environment a little bit,
yep.
you know, and just making it work. Like, mm-hmm. I remember this dude, he had a paintball arena in his basement.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? Of his crib, though. Like, I'm like, man, what? I mean, that's just, you know, like, he was just kind of backwoods like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
second season, 47 wins, good young core. First winning season, 15 years. Lose to the Suns in the first round in 7 games. What was your first taste of the playoffs?
Man, it was addicting. It was addicting, for real. Like, that's what I expected of the NBA, you know, when I first got in. What surprised me was how normal losing was to guys. You know what I'm saying? Because there was so many games, and it hit me hard, you know, my first year, because I'm like, man, we lost. Like, I'm coming from winning 2 state championships. We went in all the time. Like, you know, just that's – I played the game to win. Like, that was my mentality. So, you know, but obviously, you know, you got to have amnesia. And so but, man, that first trip to the playoffs, I'm like, yes, this is it. Like, this where, you know, this where we belong. This where I belong. Beat Denver that year. They had Melo, Andre Miller, Kenyon Martin, talented team. George Karl's team. Beat them in the first round, I think like five games. And then
you wasn't on that team, Jelani? Oh.
Might have been, yep, 06, yep. And then lost to Phoenix seven games. Rajah Bell hit a corner three.
Accident.
Man.
You said accident?
That's what I said. Man. And then just, you know, we about to go up 3-2, and they beat us double overtime game five and ended up closing it out at home game seven. But just the experience, if you haven't been there, it's hard to talk about it. It's hard to know how to win. You know, it's hard to know what to do when it get tight, you know, playing on the road, you know, like what's that like going in with you against the world mentality? Like that's, you know, until you actually go through the fire, it's hard to talk about, you know, what it's like.
Right. But you're a young player too. Steve Nash is one of your favorite players growing up.
Oh, yeah.
And you get a chance to see him in the playoffs. What was that like?
Oh, yeah. You know what? Steve Nash was the person who surprised me the most. I knew nothing about him growing up. Like, you know, like my favorite player was Penny. You know what I'm saying? Penny, Grant Hill. You know, those were some of my favorite players. My first year, I got the Clippers. We had to play Phoenix like six or seven times. The first person who surprised me was Joe Johnson. I'm like, who is this? And why have I never heard of him?
That's the only person that really cooked me my whole career.
I'm like, why isn't he not featured? Why don't we know who he is? But this was like, again, his fourth year. He playing his role. But Steve, that was his first MVP year. And why nobody told me this guy was this good shooting, you know, three-pointers coming down three-on-one fast break. Just, you know, it's like he was doing a lot of the things that you see Steph doing. You see a lot of guys doing. He was doing that back then. But what attracted me the most is his energy, how he built everybody up around him and gave them, empowered them, you know. Like he slapped high fives with everybody coming on the court, going off the court. Like he kept you engaged. Like, man, I belong. You know, you never know, you know, when you may need a guy, and you just saw how he was the spirit of that team, you know, like when they was winning, going, and you know, and plus his skill, you know, man, shooting left hand hook shots, and you know, like, man, he shouldn't be this skilled, but he can barely run up and down, like, you know, he ain't the most athletic guy, right? And so I just respected how he was able to affect the game without, you know, taking all the shots, without hogging all the, you know, all the basketballs. And you know, he wasn't necessarily a killer, right, on the court. Like, you know, Mike and Kobe, they projected that, you know what I'm saying? Like that fear. But his was a little bit more internal, you know? His was more kind of uplifting. Like, you know, I'm gonna empower guys. I'm gonna stay positive.
Year three, you go through probably the most difficult moment in your career, your knee injury. You end up missing 2 years. Me and you had many conversations about this because, you know, I've always wanted to talk to you about it. But for people that don't know, how hard was it, and mentally, what did that do to you? You know, trying to be able to come back from that.
Man, yeah, that's
makes you rub your knee right there.
Man, that's it, man. It's the it is the mental journey, because it really take a piece of your soul from fighting the injuries. You know, like. The love of the game, you know, sometimes, you know, when you could just wake up and hoop, you know.
Sometimes, like, you take it for granted.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you just wake up and just go hoop, you know. You could do that all day. We used to ride around looking for basketball games. So, like, I loved the game, you know, like, studied the game, watched y'all come up and, you know, watched a lot of the old heads come up, you know, kind of was a student of the game. And then, you know, just going through the injury process, it's the mental hurdle of, you know, having to fight yourself, you know, having to battle yourself, because you're not playing against nobody, you know. I didn't touch the court for about, you know, 8 months, you know, so.
Talk to us, not to cut you off, but what exactly did you tear and how bad? Because this was a horrible knee injury.
Yeah. I dislocated my knee, my femur tibia, tore three out of four of my ligaments, in my knee. It was a whole day. They basically compared it to a car crash. So You know, that's,
God, damn.
You know, it's like a skiers, you know, like you skiing. A lot of skiers have that type of accident, dislocations. But I was just so skinny, man. And, you know, one came down the wrong way and it just basically exploded.
Damn.
And so, you know, the hardest part was getting through, you know, the hospital, that whole situation. You know, is my knee, is my leg going to be okay? And of course, they was talking about the whole, you know, amputation and all that. They threw that around early because of the, you know, blood flow and all that. Once that was good, okay, I'm out the woods. Now, what's the timeline? All right. Nobody else has done this, so what's the timeline? You know, who's done, you know, who can I bounce it off of? What's the blueprint? Doctors don't have nothing. They ain't give me nothing. So how am I supposed to know when I'm actually able to come back? Where am I tracking at, right? Where am I ahead of schedule? Am I behind schedule? Where, you know, where am I at?
So all
road?
The questions you had needed answered at as a young kid, the doctors didn't even have the answers
have
for
it.
You.
They ain't have it.
That's
ain't have
scary.
It. They ain't have it. It was like, you know, about, they just gave me a year. You know, about a year, you should, you know, that's kind of give or take. That's the timeline. But it's just the mental process of, again, trusting yourself. Because, you know, for me, like some guys, you know, born with a lot of confidence, born with, you know, that ultimate belief. You know, for me, like I got that through working, you know, through putting in the work, practice, you know, playing. And when I couldn't do that on the court, you know, it's like you got to build that back. You have to build that belief system back in yourself. And it was just a struggle, man. Physically, not the same person. Man, having to ice your knee. You know, I was icing my knee 5-6 times a day. When I came back, you know, playing in the G League, you know, icing my knees between halftime. Like, you know, just trying to get the swelling down. Just all the little things that, you know, people that you had an injury before, you got to go through. But for me, I just didn't have a blueprint to follow.
Right.
I'm so young. You know, and I mean, just the timing of it all, I'm like, man, this, I'm supposed to be on a whole different wave right now, you know, in my mind. But, you know, that was my reality. So the faster that I accepted my reality and put it behind me, you know, the more I could get to it.
How long did it take you to feel like yourself again once you got on the court?
Man.
That's what people don't understand is that you could talk to the mental side, but it's really that mental side of trusting that knee
trusting
again.
Yeah, trusting it. That's right. That's absolutely right. It was probably about, man, probably, I say about 5 years.
Damn, that's fucking
years.
Can you imagine that?
5 years. So, I mean, that's about the time we was Charlotte, Milwaukee. I mean, when I got with Jack and Charlotte, that was the first time that I played all the way through the season, you know, like without any complications to my knee. I missed a few games.
But you still was on top of it every day with the ice and all that. Like, he was on top of it, too.
Had to. I mean, it was mandatory because if I didn't do it, you know, it was like just the regression that I was going to have was just, you know, again, not being able to play, not being able to get up and down the court. And I was barely able to maintain. Like, I was a fringe NBA player at that point, trying to claw my way back in the league and stay on a roster and, you know, show a team that, you know, I can contribute in a certain type of way. Where before that, you know, it was, here go the ball.
Lottery team. Run so like, the team.
Yeah,
you went
run
from
the team.
Brace to sleeve to nothing.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? That's how he gradually, I was right there with him.
That's right. And the first, you know, having to wear the brace, I mean, that was like a whole leg on top of my leg.
Yeah.
So just, you know, again, just having to adjust. You got to adjust your mindset. You got to humble yourself. You know, that's the hardest part of it. And then you got to persevere. You know, like the biggest thing, you know, at the time was just like, man, can't feel sorry for yourself. Because at the end of the day, it is what it is. You got to bounce back. And once you get between them lines, nobody else feeling sorry for you, bro.
They
it's
know
like,
you got a fucked up knee. They coming for that.
They
got a bad knee.
You.
Go
like,
get him.
He here go the weak system.
Blood in the water.
You know, like go. Yeah, we gonna run every play at him.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was just like, you know, I didn't want to use that as a crutch, as an excuse. Everybody knew what happened, the story, but you know, at the end of the day, it was just about, you know, get in where you fit in.
How good did it feel for you to be there for Clay? He went through a tough injury
That's
stretch,
right.
and to have you there for him to
That's right.
experience is the best teacher.
He
you
mentioned
actually
you
been
too.
There.
He
that's
mentioned
right.
you on his recovery process and in words you were giving him.
Man, that's a great question, Jack. Because man, Clay actually, when we played in Oakland, it's my neighbor. I'm talking about four houses down. We called it the frat house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he was you know, like he was right next door. So I used to give him a ride after the games. This one, he's out, he's in the boot, and you know, he's out the whole year. But you know, it's killing him. You know, the team's up and down that year. I think we had just missed the playoffs, lost in the, you know, the little playing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And man, it was just killing him because, you know, he's the ultimate competitor. I mean, Clay might be one of the most competitive guys for mm-hmm. real. And people say that, but like, you know, when you play with a guy, like how he take, mm-hmm. you know, how he take his role, how he take the game. Do we take it serious? You know, how's the losing affect him? You mm-hmm. know, when he played bad, how it, so you see all that and you know what kind, you know, what it means to him. But for me to be able to share my experience with him, what I went through at a young age, Clay being from LA, his dad, you know, obviously with the Lakers, I mean, he grew up watching people out here, you know, and I played for the Clippers, so he knew kind of my story. So I could kind of speak truth to light, you know, and he knew that it wasn't just coming from a place where I just want to lecture him, mm-hmm. you know, or just tell him, oh, it's going to be all right, man, you know. Like, no, some days it's not all right, you know. It's not. But just know it's coming from a good place. It's coming from a place where you're competitive and you want to be out there because you know what you can contribute. And, man, he was coming off of 2019 where that was probably
his best year.
That was one of his best years. Like, you know, that finals, I mean, mm-hmm. really carrying the load. KD mm-hmm. went down. So, you know, he had a lot of expectation of himself. And it was a struggle for him, but I'm proud of the way that he bounced back because even coming back, you know, people kind of, you know, oh, he's not the same Clay, and he's not, you know, it's like, you know, it's hard to deal with as a player, you know, when people talk about you and you know how much, you know, that you put into, you know, your craft and the game, you know what it means to you, it feel like they slandering you, mm-hmm. you know, like, man, put some respect on my name.
Ooh, right.
Up. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, for him to, you know, it's about how you respond,
right.
you know, and I mean, you see what he's been able to do this year, you know, it's up and down like everybody, but you know, it's like, man, who Clay will be there. To me, he's been one of the guys that's going to be there when you need him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Even and if, you know, if he does have a bad game, like, he's going to leave it on the line.
Right?
Like, he's not just going to disappear.
Like, he's going to leave all the bullets
that's
on
right.
the court.
That's
they
right.
may not go in, but he's going to empty
them.
The whole clip.
Empty
clip. That's what you want, though, from especially from when your best scorers.
That's right.
2008 to 2014, you played with 10 different teams. We played together in Charlotte. I always tell people all the time, if you want to ask how good I was, ask Baron Davis, ask Jamal Crawford, and ask Sean Livingston. Because they are three people that always was in my ear when I played with them to let me know how good I was. But how difficult was it for you that time, knowing that you already had a rough start, you know what I'm saying, you deserved to play, you was trying to figure out, but just being bounced around, getting weighed four times. I've been through it, but what was your mental state going through?
Yeah, like I said, I was on the outside looking in. I was trying to really cement myself back in the league. So I was bouncing around a lot of teams at the time. And I think, didn't y'all just went, the Charlotte just went to the playoffs the
yep.
year before.
Yeah, right? Smacked.
Yep.
By Orlando.
By them. They swept us.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So just coming off that year, it was a lot of expectation in Charlotte. Like, man, we coming.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was the vibe. That was the energy, you know. And it started kind of when you got there,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, just giving them that confidence and that swag. Gerald Wallace at the time was an all-star.
Yep.
You know? So, I mean, it was just a lot of buzz. So, for me, Raymond Felton had just left.
Yep.
Went to New York.
Yep.
And so, kind of the starting job was kind of up in the air.
Yep.
And I remember I was still going through, you know, my struggles with my physically, you know, my knee injury, just kind of knee swelling and all that. So just not being able to be myself. But it was just like, man, go, you know, like, go after it. And then we had Larry Brown. That was...
He loved you.
That was... so he was one of the guys that helped bring me there. And he was... That was an experience,
yeah.
you know, going through it with him. Because, man, just, you know, I was a new guy, and I'm like, man, this team just went to the playoffs last year, right? And then we started out, you know.
Rough.
It was rough, and I'm like, was this how it was? It couldn't be how it was last year.
Was Larry Brown knew that year, too?
He was on his way out.
Oh, okay.
He was on his way out.
That's right.
Okay.
Carl Sides was on his way in.
That's right. And then midway through the season, we had a coaching change. Paul Silas came in, and
With just, Oak and the whole different
that's,
crew.
That's right. That's right. That's right. It was like a lineup change. Just five in, five out.
And mass substitutions. Just, yeah.
And it was wild. But we kind of found our footing. Mm-hmm. You know, we picked up some steam. And I just, you know, like I just always, you know, that's why, man, at the end of the day, for me, like, I always tell people you one of my top three teammates, because it's like, man, the battery that you put in that team's back, right? Like, you see it from that standpoint of, it's like when certain people, like, you know, Draymond has some of that energy. It's mm-hmm. like when you come in, you know, you feel that person in the gym, mm-hmm. right? And it's one thing to talk it, but it's another to show
back it up,
and
yeah.
to back it up. And I think, you know, you could see, you know, with the players that was there, you know, guys, DJ Augustine mm-hmm. and some of the other players, like, they move with a different swag, mm-hmm. you know, like, especially when you was on the court.
Bars.
Right. And so it was just keeping you on the court.
Mm-hmm.
You
know what facts. I'm saying? Like, facts.
Right? And
that was the hardest thing.
That's yeah.
A,
yeah.
That's a job in itself. And that's how you know he know me, dog.
I remember a time MJ came in and he practiced with us.
Yep.
You remember that?
I told that story.
And
served us.
Yeah, man. And I was on his team, actually. And it was just like, wow. Because I was, you know, I was on the bench team, and they was the starters.
Man, him was going at it.
And they going back and forth, and, you know, Mike cussing him out, Jack cussing him, Mike out. And I'm like, he cussing him? Damn. Like, you know, it's just, you know, it was new to me, again. But
what that did for our team,
just,
though?
Again, just the confidence, right? It's like we not backing down from anybody. We belong, and to me, I think as a player, that's the journey that I talked about when you first get in the NBA. It's like you got to establish yourself. Yeah. You got to like make your way, because it's not given. You know, it's not given. I mean, I think certain players get opportunities, maybe that, you know, may or may not deserve it. But, you know, for the most part, like when it comes down to winning, especially at the highest level, I mean, the best players gonna play, and it's usually the players that earn that. Mm-hmm. So. You got to have that ultimate confidence at all times, especially if you want to win at the highest level.
Thanks.
14, you land with the Warriors. How did that happen?
Oh, man. Bob Myers, Jerry West, Steve Kerr, you know, they sought me out. I, 2014, I had a good year with Brooklyn, played with them. You know, that's probably my best year after post-injury. Played like about 70 games, so I was healthy. Played in the playoffs, and then we got to the second round. Lost to the Heat, which they lost to the Spurs that year. And then, man, the Warriors was right there. You know, like they was going back and forth with y'all,
the Clippers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, like y'all was kind of big bro at the time, and mm-hmm. you know, y'all had the experience, more established players and guys. But they was next. They was kind of next up. They had, you know, a young nucleus. You know, and at the time it was just, you know, for me, what it came down to, it was like, I just want to be in a competitive environment. You know, I had been on a lot of losing teams mm-hmm. trying to make it back in the NBA, and I'm grateful for that opportunity because that gave me the platform and chance to play. But man, that shit is, it's rough. Mm-hmm. It's rough, you know, losing like that. And, you know, I, as a player, I always wanted to win. So I just wanted to be in a competitive environment. They had just went to the playoffs in the first round, so, you know, I knew they kind of had that experience mm-hmm. and was looking to get over the hump, and man, I wanted to be a part of that.
You guys' first year, 67-15.
Jeez.
Steph won MVP. Was that the first time first unanimous MVP in league history? Like you said, you were just looking to be competitive. Did you know that the motherfuckers are going to be that good?
No,
y'all was going to be that good?
No way. I mean, he was climbing.
Mm-hmm.
He was ascending. Like, he mm-hmm. was, it was no doubt about it. Like, the two playoffs that he had, obviously the year before they played y'all, mm-hmm. they got to the second round. And so he was able to kind of show, you know, like, man, this dude coming. Like, he's on his way.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, to say that we all knew he was going to be at this level, you know, I don't think anybody expected that. No, none of us expected to win a championship our first year. That wasn't the mentality. It's like, let's get to the playoffs and, you know, let's make our mark. That was kind of the mindset. But I just remember that year, you know, I started out hurt again. I broke my toe. So I was out, like, the first all training camp, came back at the beginning of the season, And these dudes, they rolling. I'm talking about, you know, they get off 15-2, 16-2. I'm like, damn, I ain't never went 16-2 before. Like, you know, this team actually all right. And so, but I wasn't contributing. Like, I knew I could contribute, you know? Like, I was coming off a career year in Brooklyn, and I'm playing, like, you know, real backup minutes, you know, 10, 12 minutes a game, you know, coming in for a breather type. So I'm like, man, you know, I want to play more. Like, I got to. And so I started, you know, getting myself into shape, you know, started healing up. But then by January, started playing better. And, I mean, by that time, we got the best record in the league. Draymond is starting lineup, you know, like, he kind of, you know, he doing his thing. And Splash Bros is, you know, they taking off. And, you know, Steph's got all this MVP chatter. And it's like, man, like, we might have a chance to win this thing. Like, you know, like, you know, you've been on teams where, you know, you hit them stretches in the regular season. Like, yo, we rolling right now. And we ain't just rolling, we rolling over.
Rolling
teams.
Over people,
like,
yeah.
And so, like, we, you know, we might be one of the best teams out here. And I think we had that.
Bob Myers went on record saying he appreciated the championship the most for you. When you think about your journey, jumping straight out of high school, franchise player, that's what the Clippers envisioned you in. You know, terrible injury, bounce around, you're looking for a role, and you weren't even a role player, you're just looking for a role to play. You land on this team, find your footing, you know, midway through the season, and you get a chance to, you know, feel that confetti come down and that champagne spray on you. Like, what was your, did the journey flash? Were you in the moment? What were you first thinking?
Man, I was in the moment, but the first thing I thought, I'm like, man, I deserve this.
Hell
God
yeah.
Damn
right. Hell yeah.
You know, like, that's how I felt. Like, I deserve it. You know, like, all the, and it is, you know, it's the journey. It's, it's all the BS you got to go through and listen to people talk about, you know, stuff they don't know.
He ain't this, he ain't that, he can't do that.
Yeah, can't do this, can't do that. So, you know, it's, again, it, for me, like, I felt validated in that way. I think we all did. You know, obviously, that 2015, that Cavs team, they had some injuries, you know, but at the end of the day, you play who's in front of you.
Right.
You know, and so that's how we felt about it. And, you know, man, like, when we lift that trophy up, you know, it was worth it. It was worth all the grind. It was worth all the work, the hustle, bouncing all them different teams, all the rehab, you know, all the coaches that, you know, I didn't like, played for, did the right thing, right? Said the right thing, didn't, you know, burn no bridges. Like, all, you know, just trying to make the right decisions throughout, all the way through. And then you get to that finish line, you're like, yep, this is it. This is supposed to feel this good.
Yes. Yep. We had Clay on the show early in the season. He said the three greatest shots in NBA history are Michael Jordan's turnaround, Kareem's skyhook, and Sean Livingston mid-range.
Come on, bro.
What's the secret to your mid-range shot?
Watching the internet, man.
Because he's 10 feet, he's 6'9", and he's jumping 8 feet off the ground shooting the mid-range.
Hey, man. Hey.
Where did you get that from? Because you were never – so this is – you think about it. I mean, this team is not necessarily your style of play.
Right.
Like,
that's
they
right.
launch threes
that's
and
right.
run up and down, and that
that's
wasn't
right.
necessarily your game no more, but you've created such an important niche on this team. But where did that mid-range assassin come from?
They used to post him up.
That's right.
I was there. I seen it.
It was – it. That
Y'all
was kinda,
used to post them up. My bad. I forgot you was on that team.
Yeah. This dude, man.
That's all I said, dude, dog.
Man.
I forgot you was on the team. My bad.
I forgot I was on the team, too, at times.
Man.
He can't even let me joke on him. He got to kill himself.
That's how you flip the joke.
Yeah, reverse. Man, probably that was always my game. I was never a range shooter. You know, even coming in the league, that was kind of my Achilles heel, working on the jump shot, stress, you know, being able to stretch the court. You know, was starting to expand to that, you know, through my injury. And then once my injury came, it was like, man, how am I going to be effective on the court? And it was like, you know, focus on your strengths. And at the end of the day, things that you're not good at, just, you know, like, man, just stay away from those or leave, you know. So I was basically, you know, staying in my sweet spots and finding a way to affect the game, being a threat on the court. How can I be a threat on the court? And for me, it was making defenses pay, you know, because I wasn't on the top of the scouting report. You know, I was, you know, that was the main guys, but it's how Shaq say to others, you know, like that's, you know, that's what ends up, you know, winning playoff games and championships and things of that nature, because you need those guys. You know, when you out there, that load get heavy, you know, you're trying to score 30, 40, you know, 7-game series. So I knew that I could create, you know, a lane. And then also my basketball mind. I always had a knack for the game, just IQ, knowing, you know, where the ball's supposed to go, right? Who should get the touches? You know, and then when we played, it was the big man, right? So, you know, you had to play inside out. But just, man, just being a threat on the court. And then when I got to Golden State, man, they was launching threes, you know? And I'm stubborn, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, man, I'm sticking with what I do, you know? Like, I'm rocking how I rock. And, you know, we're going to find a way. And I'm smart enough to figure this out, to mm-hmm. be on the court with them, you know, stay out the way. But, you know, also if they're going to, you know, defense not going to guard me, I'm going to make them pay, mm-hmm. right, at the end of the day. I'm going to two you to death. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
two ball to death. And, you know, it worked. It worked, especially because of the personnel that I had. And that's for me, that's what I know I needed. You know, I always play well with a floor spacer next to me, a shooting big. So that's why it worked out.
Mm-hmm. How was it being on the 73-19?
Man, boy. That was some of the best basketball. That in the year KD got there was some of the best basketball I probably ever played. You know, just from a sense of, like, being in sync. Like, we were so in sync. And when I say we was in sync, like, it was just
scary.
Man, it was like we knew where each other was going to be on the court, right? Guys had roles. We was, you know, it was all kind of, you know, it was kind of defined, especially because we won a championship. And then I think also, too, coming off the first championship, it was a lot of chatter about, you know, like, we didn't earn it because of the injuries and the whole nine. So that was like a chip on our shoulder a little bit. Like,
prove it.
All right. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. like, you got to go out and, you know, go out and show us now. So I think we carried that into the season, you know, and Draymond is his first time. You know, now he's really locked in as a starter. He just signed a new deal. And we had a lot of guys. We rock with each other. And the personalities in the locker room, you know, if it would have been 3 or 4 Draymonds, maybe not. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, that matters. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that matters. And so we had enough guys around him, the right vets, you know, to let him, you know, be himself. Also, Steph and Clay, you know, to, like, we wasn't hating on them, right? Like, the vets, we everybody wanted to see each other shine. And I think that was the difference maker. When you got guys that are willing to fight for the next guy, because it's like, I'm rocking with you, bro. Mm-hmm. We're gonna play hard for each other. Especially when it hit the fan, that's when you really see, you know, if a team is, you know, really together or not. And that team was together. We didn't get it done. So, you know, that's what people gonna remember for sure.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Cowie, what do you say?
It was! And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on Storybutton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Y'all get LeBron in the finals. Take me back to the moments the Kyrie shot.
Man, felt like that ball hung in the air so long. I was like, man, this better not
off
go in.
Off the dribble, too, though.
This better not go in. This better, damn, it went in, damn. But the crazy part about it is, like, he hit that shot, but, I mean, all of us still believe we were still going to win that game because, mm-hmm. you know, Steph still had a chance to, you know, to knock a shot in. But it just – the thought of us losing that series just did not cross our mind. And so it was just – it was shock, man. And I think they don't get enough credit, too, you know, just – especially Kyrie, like, for what he was able to do
In that series,
you know what I'm saying? And like, I mean, I tell people, like, Clay, he, you know, for a long time there, he was one of the best two guards, you know, two-way players in the league, right? On the ball and then back on the other end. But, I mean, that was one of the only matchups I really seen somebody probably get the best of him, you know what I'm saying? Like, for three straight games. And it was just like, this dude is...
And Clay was still contesting too. He was just making
talking
shots.
About hitting right there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's better. Oh. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
It's better. Oh. But it's like, you don't want to say that because it's like, nah, we got to find a way. Make them miss.
Yeah.
But he just.
But happening.
You know, they will. It was just crazy. So that was obviously, you know, a low point for the Dubs at that time because everything we went through to get that record too, like, we went after that record. Knowing that probably, you know, it was a lot of slippage towards the end of the year. Like, we was a team who knew how to win, you know? So, like, especially, we started off with, like, 24-0. So, like, we would get into three quarters, we BSing, you know, and then fourth quarter. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like we knew how to win. Like, and then a lot of teams, if you don't, like I said, if you don't go through that fire and start trusting each other, believe, you know a team's going to crack. Like, nah, they going to fold. You know, so
when did that conversation first start coming up that we can get that record?
Towards probably around All-Star, right after All-Star, you know.
Let's go get it.
Let's go get it. We went on an East Coast swing, and I remember, I think we were in Orlando. We had just beat Miami, and, you know, going through Miami, you know. And
them nights.
Yeah, man. It's just, you know,
nights.
So we got and then we got Orlando the next night, and then so we just, you know, we boo-boo out there on the court. And Steph, man, he just, you know, he go into a thing, and he just really, he will us together. Like, he win that game pretty much, you know, I ain't gonna say by himself, but by himself, like, and then I'm like, man, this dude, he's on one right now. Like, you know, I'm like, man, we, you know, Steve have to talk with us. He like, look, I was on that team. You know, that's a record.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, there was plenty of nights that we probably shouldn't have won some of those games, but Mike was, you know, that good. And he was like, man, you guys have a real shot with the pieces that are in play right now, with how they're, you know, how they're orbiting and, you know, working. It's like, you guys have a real shot to go get this. Do you want to? He asked us, do you want to go for this record? We all looked around like, yeah. You know, and Draymond, obviously, first one, like, man, I want to go for it, you know? And then, you know, Steph, and it was just all of us, we wanted to be a part of history, man. It was just, it was an opportunity that, you know, you don't get. And I'm like, man, why are we playing? We out here to win. But now, like, mm-hmm. let's make our mark out here.
Right.
And, you know, we had a couple, you know, Uncle Andre, I call him, you know, he just, you know, he didn't want to necessarily go for it at the time because he saw the slippage. And he like, man, if we do all this and we don't win, it don't mean, you know,
shit.
Yeah, it don't mm-hmm. mean nothing. So, you know, like he was in our ear, you know, because he was kind of like the wise man. But, man, we saw the, you know, we saw it in the distance. It was like, man, we got a chance to go get this. Let's go do it. And we did have some slippage, you know, like trying to win some of those games, like just not building the right habits.
Right. Going
to win.
Into the playoffs.
Exactly. Because mm-hmm. you want to be rolling on all cylinders when you get into the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want to just have to flip that switch because that's
hard to
it
do.
It may not, like, man, it's, mm-hmm. it ain't working. Like, hold on.
The fuck?
Yeah. So, you know, that it was, I'm grateful we went after it. I'm thankful in hindsight looking back and we got it. But of course, you know, give me that ring.
Yeah, for real.
Give me that ring.
Help is on the way. Help is on the motherfucking way. Y'all signed KD. The next is that summer.
Man.
I know y'all was like, yeah,
oh,
bitches.
Man.
Can't wait till we get back to y'all ass again.
I remember where I was at. I'm in the barber seat back in Peoria. Look at the phone. What? Man, listen, we got KD, dog. We just got KD. You hear me? Like, it was in shock. Like I said, I wasn't on that trip to the Hamptons, but at the end of the day, it was like, man, it was shocking to me to see that, like man, this mug, like, one of the best players in the world, and what we just went through, and he about to come, like, man, oh, it's over. We about to wreck shop. And we was coming off, you know, losing, so we already was hungry, you know, and we had that chip, you know, on our shoulder, and we had something to prove. So now with him coming in the fold, it was just like, all right, let's go. It was kind of like a us against the world mentality because we knew, right? It was like, it was going to be a lot of, you know, front runners out there talking, you know, talking trash, but, you know.
It is what it is.
It is what it
Fuck
is.
Em. Before we get into that team and the run you guys went on, what was it like? What was the fandom like with that team? Like off the court, going into different cities, just moving around. What was that like with that
team? Like the Beatles?
It was, man. It was nuts. It started the year before when we was on the record. And it was Steph. Steph was, you know, the main one that was just like...
Paul McCartney?
Yeah, man. It was like, you know, Michael Jackson out here. like, y'all got to go home, you know? But, you know, just... I remember documenting, you know, how many people were outside at the bus when we were going to the game a couple of those times. Like... It really looked like, you know, the Dream Team when they was, you know, out over there overseas. It was that many people following and building, you know, and the Warriors already had, you know, a fan base in the Bay.
Loyal.
You know, loyal.
To the soil,
and
yep.
I mean, that kind of started, you know, in y'all era, you know, like they loved the Warriors. You better not say nothing, you know, like for real, especially.
I come with that.
Collusion life. Collusion life.
Yeah, so It was, you know, the fan base, it was, you know, you start winning, you start, you know, building up some fans and, you know, but I think what we appreciated was, you know, it's a lot of loyal fans that's been there since day one, you know, in the Bay Area that's been there when they couldn't give away them tickets, you know, so we appreciated them fans.
Yeah. So Kevin Durant comes in, one of the best players in the world. You continue to speak on how your guys' team was like this, and you think to add a superstar to a team like that, there would be some hiccups or some growing pains, but it outside looking in, it looked pretty seamless. It may not have been, but it looked pretty seamless once you guys started rolling. Talk to us just about seeing
you
nice...
You were there, right? No. You was there. This afterwards?
No, I was never there. So when you would see Clay, Steph, and KD out there just clicking, like, what is that like?
Man, it was like basketball nirvana. For real, it was a seamless fit. All the pieces to the puzzles fit, you know? Like, you had a point guard who was, you know, could play off the ball, right? And he wasn't selfish. He'd get off of it, you know, like you bring it up. You know, you had Clay, who was a sniper out there, didn't need it, you know. And then KD, man, people don't know how much this man is a student of the game. Like, just his work ethic. Like, we talk about it, me and Dre talk about it. It's like, what kids need to do is they need to, like, don't even watch practice. Watch after practice.
Oh, man, I'd be telling
Watch that. After practice how he go through his routine. Like, it's that.
Unbelievable. I used to tell people,
it's
unbelievable.
Like, man, it's just, you know, it's so, you know, it's like a tactician, man. Like, he's just, you know, surgical with his movements, you know, with the footwork.
Balance.
With the balance, with the form, you know, like, and it means something to him. You know, you can tell, like, he's studying. He watching tape at home. You know, like, that man is, you know, like, he lived the hoop, for real. And so, you know, watching him put the work in, it was crazy because it's like, man, it's really a 7-foot guard out here, you know, with these handles, dribbling like this, shooting like this. Like, man, he shouldn't be able to do this and move this way, be this tall. But it fit because, again, he was bought in, too, from a standpoint of just wanting to win and play good basketball. Like, that's, you go back and look, like, that's always what he talked about, like, I just want to play good basketball, like make the right plays. And I think that's something that we were building as an organization, as a team franchise. Like
a standard.
A standard of like, man, just make the right play. You know what I'm saying? Like you ain't got to beat a home run. It may be a time for that, and we'll get there when that happens. But let's build these habits because you never know. You know, you never know when you might need this person. And you need them to, do the right thing. And so, you know, that's what he bought into when he got to the Warriors. But then it was also times where it was like, huh, man, go get a
bucket.
Go
do your thing.
Like, please.
Oh.
You know, yeah.
Hold my drink. I got you. That was the one thing I used to tell people, too, Dot, was seeing him and Steph after practice. Because like you said, it was a 7-foot version, and then there's a 6'2 version doing the exact same balance.
Same thing.
And there was no lucky shots because they worked on all these backboard angles, level of the backboard, balance. Shit was unbelievable.
And they would work out most of the time they work out separate. Guys that have their own courts. Clay got his own court, Steph, KD, Andre. And then sometimes they'll work out together.
When Steve Kerr or Steve Nash would come.
Oh my goodness, it was like a movie. It was a movie because it was like, man, it was like watching. It was a video game, man. They wasn't missing, but just again the footwork, you know, the technique, shooting off left leg, shooting off the right leg, glass, you know, just man. And it was form, you know, it was form, it was fundamentals, you know. And that to me is like what I think the youth, you know, that's what you need to see and watch. Watch their footwork. Watch how he line his feet up before he even catch the ball, he ready to shoot, you know? And they was just so methodical with the way they went about it and consistent. That was the biggest word, the consistency of doing it time after time after time. And we are professional athletes, and so we put a lot of time in our game. We take our craft serious. But, I mean, man, them dudes, man, like it was – It was literally like routine.
Special.
Every day.
Special to watch.
Yeah.
And think about it. I mean, you coming from where you came from, where once you guys were done, when your rookie year, the court, and you go in the locker room, like when you go in that Golden State, like you said, everyone has their court. The young players on the far end running, but all the main guys have their own basket, and every single day they shot.
Every day.
Every single day, bro.
Every day. And it was, you know, like sometimes, man, Steph would just, like we'll catch ourselves watching, you know, as players. Because, you know, it's like, man, this dude, you know, like he'll shoot all these crazy-ass shots in the game, you know, and they go in, you know. And so, but you see what he's working on, right? And it's like, oh, this isn't extraordinary. You know what I'm saying? It's just the ordinary work that he's putting in time after time after time to get to that place. And then also I say another thing, like his touch is unbelievable, you know. And KD has that, you know, soft touch. But his touch, like, you know, man, to be able to shoot them shots all the way up in the air like that. And, you know, like him and Joker, to me, like, you know, they got
touch
some of the
different.
Best. Yeah, they touch different.
So 16-1, get you another championship, going to the next season. And you guys are able to capture 3 championships in 4 seasons. Where's your mind at this point, end of the 18 season?
Man, well, man, it was just, you know, it's like, all right, we went back to back, you know, it was just like, you know, we got a chance. Let's keep winning. Let's keep doing it. You know, that was 2018, and then Boogie signed, and it was just like, oh man, they about to give us Boogie. Like, you know, like, man, it's about to get real unfair because, you know, we never had a scoring big, like, you know, like that had game on the block, post work, shoot a three, dime you, handle that thing. Like, man, Boog was cold man.
As fuck.
You know, like, for real. And so he came in that year, you know, and he was working his way back from injury. And, you know, I just remember another one. Just, he, you know, Boog was misunderstood, man. Just, you know, like, having a chance to come into our organization and prove his worth, prove himself. You know, he was determined to do that. And so, like, I built up a lot of respect for him in that journey because he was going through the rehab process, getting himself back and trying to prove to people he, you know, what he could do.
That's the first winning real environment he's been in since college.
Ain't that crazy? Mm-hmm. And that matters for young players.
So
where
much.
You go, you know, like being able to have an environment where, you know, they preach about doing the right things, you know, and about what is your preparation, what's your approach to the game, because it matters. Because it's like, you know, we all talented, you know, and especially coming into the league, you was the man wherever you was at, in college, high school, whatever, you know, AU, wherever. So the mentality is like, you know, you made it, but it's like you really got to prove yourself again, like I was saying. But it's you know, it's the preparation that goes into that. And so with Boog, man, like 2019, he just, you know, he had a pretty good year, solid. We were up and down, had a lot of injuries that year, ended up losing to Toronto. In the finals, KD obviously went down. Clay went down. We shot all our bullets. We was on fumes. But that was like, man, that was 5 straight years of going to the finals. So it was just like, man, it was, you know, we was burning out, you know, like mentally, yeah. emotionally, you yeah. know, kind of getting desensitized about the game and about the moment. You know, we supposed to be really in it and enjoying it. And I think I don't want to say we were taking it for granted, but it was just a standpoint as like, oh, we did it, you know, and so we can do it again. And it's not that
it
easy.
Was the norm for y'all at
exactly.
the time.
Exactly.
That one game, KD came back, the game he got hurt. I know everybody was like, the first couple shots,
ooh.
Oh, that's over. He hit the first couple threes, like, oh, he back, yeah, it's over. They finna blow him out. Then he went down.
Man, listen, we were so hyped when he came back, though. I'm talking about before he even got out there. We, you know, doing the whole pregame
huddle. Did he do his little dance?
You know, he did his dance.
Okay, so
and when I tell you the whole dance, we was watching the feet, making sure that was like, make sure he good.
Right.
Man, he hit that dance so hard. We was like, oh, yeah, we about to do it. And then he went down, man. It was just... It was tough to watch because knowing that, you know, he put it on the line, right? Knowing that he was about to be a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, man, listen, at the time, you know, like, we knew. I think, you know, I knew personally. Like, I was on my last leg, but I felt like I knew that, you know, he had a calling to be somewhere else and he wanted to test the water, free agency, and find his own lane. So, you know, that was tough to see because, again, like, you know, he didn't have to do that. He could have just, you know, he could have just played the cut and said, hey, you know, I'm injured. But he, you know, he put it on the line for us. And, you know, obviously we're grateful, wish it wouldn't turn out that way.
Right.
But, you know, man, I mean, he gave it all. He gave it all to us, though. He gave it all to us.
That 17 team, one of the greatest teams of all time.
It definitely, 100%, 100%. I mean, just that much talent, that much talent. Like, you know, it's hard to stop everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard to compare eras now. Like,
yeah.
I grew up on the Bulls, so that's always going to be cream de la creme for
mm-hmm.
me. You know, Mike and Scotty, but, man, I mean.
All the weapons.
All the weapons, and then they fit. Like I said, the pieces of the puzzle fit. Like, you don't have people stepping on each other's toes, and especially... You know, towards the end of that run, you know, obviously the media get involved and, you know, like... Trying to find the cracks. You know, they trying to break us up and, you know, it's the Warriors and KD. You know, it's KD and the Warriors. And so all that dissension and stuff start, you know, playing in the locker room and stuff. But I mean, like, man, when you talk about, I seen him locked in. Like, when we all locked in and all together and he bought in and we bought in, it was like, you know, it's another level. It was another level. It's another level of basketball. So I vote yes.
Yeah. Retired in 2019. Do you ever get a chance to sit back and say how wonderful your career was?
I did. That year I took off, I did. It was tough. It was tough because, you know, basketball was like the only thing that, you know, I knew since the cradle. So it was like a death, right? Like, you know, it was like a death in that way, like mourning the game. You know, and I was talking to you about it, you know, when we was playing, just mulling, you know, seeing the handwriting on the wall and, you know, trying to get tips on, you know, what to do, not having, you know, having a lot more time on your hands and all that. But I'm grateful, man. Like, I'm working on the book, you know, got to tell the story, you know, if not me, then who?
What's the title?
I got to work on that. You need some inspo.
Yeah.
I need some inspo. But
let Jam roll up after this. He'll give you a couple title ideas.
Yeah, I know you got some cooking for me. But yeah, definitely. It was a good journey. I'm grateful for it, and I wouldn't change a thing.
Quick hitters. First thing to come to mind, let us know. Bron, Kobe, MJ,
ooh,
rank them.
Ooh. Favorite or just best? What are we talking?
A little bit of both.
Oh, man. MJ, Kobe, Bron. I mean, maybe it's an era thing, but, you know, like that's
your
where
order?
I'm at. That's where I'm at. The greatest, you know, Mike, what he did, what he accomplished, you know, watched it, felt it. Kobe, you know, greatest player I ever guarded, you know, on the court. And Bron, what he's accomplished. So, yeah.
Robert Horry sat there yesterday and told us the same thing.
Yeah.
Saints. Jordan, Kobe, Bron?
Really? Yeah.
That's how I go. But they kill me for saying that, though. Damn, I wish somebody just... They kill me for saying that.
Because it's you?
Yeah, they kill me for saying that, though.
You got any good Kobe stories?
Kobe stories. I remember when I came in the league, he was grilling me. You know, young fella, you love the game? You know, like he was really trying to find out, you know, if I was in it for the lifestyle or if I was a hooper. You know, and I think he felt that I was, you know, a real hooper. You know, I kept, you know, I was quiet. Yeah, I love it, but it's my rookie year, so. But I just remember guarding him at the time. That's when I was able to get on the court and make my name on the defensive end. And, man, just the counters that he had, man. Like, this dude, man, he shot a fadeaway with the left on me. Like, how disrespectful is that? You know, like. Just that he tried it, you know what I'm saying? Like, but in a game, in an NBA game, like, we ain't just at the court. Like, you gonna try this in front of all these people?
Mm.
Like,
what Kyrie get it
like
from?
My dad out here, like, you know, he was it was the mentality and the mindset. And of course, people talk that Mamba mentality, but like, unless you really play with him and know, like, you know, how he really was, you know, like, it's best to really lead that in the past.
Come on, man.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just my personal opinion.
I feel you.
You know,
that's what,
like,
Bob said. Bob said some people shouldn't even speak on it.
That's just my personal opinion, yeah, man. Like, just being in LA and hearing the stories, and like, I didn't never play with him, and I didn't know him, weren't friends, you know. But it's just like, man, you know, like the amount of work that he put in to the game, to his craft, was maniacal. You know what I'm saying? It was like maniacal. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to make a decision.
Diabolical.
Like, what's really important to you? You know, like, some guys, you know, family, lifestyle, whatever the case, you know, whatever, money, financial. Like, it really was hoop for him, and everything else came, you know? So, like, he was really living that life. And I had to question myself, like, do I really love the game? Like, I should be working out like that. You know?
Maniacal.
It was maniacal.
What does that mean?
It was like, it was a maniac.
Okay.
He was a maniac.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I asked when I
was. No, doubt.
Yeah, 100, maniacal. 100, I'm putting that in my vocabulary. I'm maniacal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm diabolical. I'm all
that.
Yeah,
diabolical. But Kobe, man, he was, he was great. Like I said, he was the best player I guarded just because of the counter moves that he had. You know, you take one thing away, he has something else. And he would will his team, you know, like the moment was never too big, and he was just a killer.
You know? One album on repeat that you listen to?
Blueprint.
Is that for real?
Five dinner guests, dead or alive?
Five dinner guests. Dead or alive?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Pop, Tupac. Obama, mm-hmm. met him, but just to sit and have dinner with him. Jay-Z.
Mm-hmm.
Martin and Malcolm.
Can't go wrong with that. That's going to be nice. Top five mid-range shooters ever.
don't be bashful neither.
The you got to be in there. You got to be in there. I know two. I know two that I know is going to be in there.
The Mitty. Top five. All right. Sam Cassell.
Mm-hmm.
You got to put MJ in there because, mm-hmm. you know, MJ, Cole.
Mm-hmm.
That's three. I'm putting KD in there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, let me think about somebody from mid-range. I mean, from this era, I think you say DeMar DeRozan. If I'm going kind of the older era, a player that I watched, what's my guy from Detroit?
On Rip the Hamilton. Bench.
Yes. Rip Hamilton. Off the screen.
He's the GOAT at mid.
Off the screen. Rip Hamilton. Chasing him around, but that was kind of like how Chasing Steph and Clay, like, yeah. You know, they was the
going to be a
but
rage,
he'll scratch
bro.
Your ass too with them fucking fingernails.
Yeah,
and shit.
He never cut his nails. Yeah.
I ain't guard him as much as you did. So yeah.
Best player in the world right now.
Ooh, best player in the world right now. Oh man, I'm biased, you know. So I always say Steph, but if I'm, you know. Best player in the world.
Outside of your former team outside of your teammate.
Right. Oh, man, total package. I mean, it's got to be. It's hard not to say Bron. You know, he's older now. So I'm going to say Jokic.
You got to, bro.
I'm going
to
say Jokic.
As hard as it is, you got to.
And it's always, for me, it's about, like, I want to give it to the ball handlers, the guards, you know, the forwards, the ones who's kind of doing that. But, I mean, he's doing all of it. Like, he is, mm-hmm. you know, the sun that makes everything else, mm-hmm. you know. He, you mm-hmm. know, makes everything else work. And that dude, man, he just carved you up. Like, that's why they play the way they do, because of him mm-hmm. and his personality. Like, we relate with that, you know, with Steph being kind of the
selfless.
Same way. Like, mm-hmm. you know, that humble personality to where he boosts you up, he empower you, and you know, you cut, he gonna throw you the rock.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you like to see on All the Smoke? But... I was waiting till you get ready to answer. But you have to help us get your answer on the show. I'm just too cold with this question. I used to fumble with this question like a motherfucker, too.
I ain't never seen a motherfucker compliment himself so much on a goddamn question.
That's hard, ain't it? That's hard.
He be complimenting himself on this
question. Sometimes you gotta break your arm and pat yourself on the back. Break your arm and pat yourself on the back sometimes. Fuck it.
Let me give you.
Thanks, bro. You know what I'm saying? I'm cool with the checks you've been getting, Mister. You ain't got to pat me on the back. Just keep getting the checks here.
Y'all done had a lot of people on the show though, man. Mm-hmm. Like y'all got a lot of.
It's a nice list.
Man, diverse too. It's diverse, you know. So I don't know, y'all reaches. It's getting up there. Who hasn't been on that? Maybe, you had any owners on? Any owners of the teams?
No.
I think it'd be good to have one of the owners on.
Name one.
You know?
Well, kind of did. We have a former Mike Rubin.
Yeah, Mike Rubin.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He was dope, though.
Yeah.
Nah, he different.
Yeah, different.
He wanted us. He wanted
right.
homies.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, nah, he wanted homies.
Right. Yeah, I think one of the owners, just to give people some perspective, like, you know, like, behind the scenes, you know, like tell us really, mm-hmm. you know, what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, if I had to pick somebody from, I would say Donnie Walsh. That would be somebody, you know what I'm saying? Because he got some stories and he's been around a long time. He worked with Bird.
Pacer owner, right?
The Pacers, yep. He was around that brawl time. So
think Donnie Walsh would be good for us too.
Well, Sean, man, we appreciate you. Your journey has been incredible. Oh yeah, let me give you some gear real quick. Yeah, something you could throw on around there. Something you could throw on around there. Yeah.
My guys.
Yeah, no
my
doubt. Guys. We appreciate you.
Merch. All the smoke that merch. Store, you can get it. Yeah. You can be fly, just like Matt and Sean. It's that you need.
But no, your journey, your perseverance, and then again getting a chance to know you, obviously as a person, has been great. Like again, you know, great player, but a better person, and that's saying a lot. So man, we appreciate you, your grind, your drive, and you know now you're in the front office, man. So we expect nothing but greatness. So best of luck,
sir.
Bro.
Yes,
if you ever want to know how cold I was, just go ask him.
Yes, sir.
Or just ask him. Yeah.
I'm gonna direct you in who to go talk to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Man, but that's a wrap. Sean Livingston, Showtime Basketball YouTube, and the iHeart platform Black Effects. We'll see y'all next week.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.